Second Chronicles, the 25th chapter. Just a reminder, at the Sunday School Hour, 9:45, after following this service, we have the Hardeckers are going to be with us. They're from the Philippines, and I've been ministering there for several years. They'll be with us all day. So they'll be doing the combined Sunday school here in the auditorium. All the teenage and above classes will be here. And at 11 o'clock, he'll give a short testimony here in the auditorium. Then he'll be visiting the children's ministries. This evening at 6 o'clock, he'll be showing his slides from the Philippines and talking about their ministry. And he'll be preaching tonight as well. As is the case whenever we have a guest in, you can give towards the ministry by marking on your tithing envelope, Hardeckers or Philippines or PHP, we'll get it there to them. We cover their expenses to get here. Everything you give is to them. Well, the message this morning was inspired by a question Mrs. Bishop asked me. And the title of the message is this: How to Make God Angry. We're going to teach you something this morning, how to make God mad. And if you want to make God mad, there's lots of instructions in God's Word on how to do that, and we're going to show you those things this morning. Now, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I will purposely do some things to annoy Mrs. Bishop. I will. Time change Sunday, it's not unusual for me to, change the clocks early. Well, maybe on Friday or Saturday morning. And so she'll get up in the morning and she'll go, ah, and I'll laugh. I will do that. Now, every once in a while, and I'm not very often, but every once in a while, I will put an empty container back in the refrigerator. I'll finish it up and it'll be empty and I'll put it back in the fridge. And she'll go, who did this? Well, there's only two of us in the house, so probably wasn't her. Occasionally, I'll just say those are keys to a happy marriage. However, I have never gotten up in the morning and said, "I wonder what I can do today to annoy God." Now, I might want to annoy Mrs. Bishop, and I might find that funny, but to annoy God just—I don't know—it just doesn't seem funny to me. I've never done that, never thought about it. I never thought about how I can make God angry. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, we have King Amaziah, and he's going to do something to make God angry. And it's an interesting phrase. We're going to trace it through God's Word, and that phrase is this: "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them." We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoadah of Jerusalem. He started out well. 25 years of age, he's decided that he's going to serve the Lord, he's going to do that was right. And verse 2 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart." Not always for the right reason. Not because he really wanted to do it. Maybe somebody else was making them do it. Maybe the pressure of mom and dad. Maybe he thought, well, this would be a good way to get the people behind me. And so he did what was right, but not always for the right reasons. Now, it came to pass, in verse 3 says, "It came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father, but he slew not their children." Why? Because that's what God's word said. "Did as it was written in the law of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin." So he did not hold the children responsible for the sins of mom and dad. As a result of his obedience to God, God blessed him. "Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captives over thousands, captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. He numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield." And so he had trained battlements. "He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God will make thee fall before the enemy. That's not a good thing. Amaziah is being told, don't make an alliance with Israel, Ephraim. They are not blessed of God. You can do that if you want. You can go wax valiantly, say, I'm going to go do it anyways, because I am better equipped with an extra 100,000 men, but you're going to fall. It's going to fail. And so Amaziah, verse 9, Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents? I've already paid this money. I mean, we've already paid these guys. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You go to battle, you're going to lose. God can give you the victory and God can replace that money. Money is just a thing. Amaziah, listen to the man of God. Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. They were not happy about that. Now, they should have been happy. We don't have to go fight, but we get the money? Really? Sure, I'll go back home. Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to them out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. But better to make a man angry than to make God angry. Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir, 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them into the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock, and they were broken in pieces. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria even unto Beth Harun and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. Now, it came to pass after Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites. Pay attention to verse 14. So he's following God, not with a perfect heart, not always for the right reasons, but he's doing the right thing, and as a result, God is blessing him. The man of God is coming to him and saying, hey, this is you do this, you're going to lose. And Amaziah is listening to the man of God. But here, his imperfections of heart. He's in power. He has absolute power. He's got a great army. He's had a great victory. His ego is stoked. And now he thinks he doesn't need God anymore. Now it came to pass, after Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods, little g, of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and burned incense to them. Wherefore, notice verse 15, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of their hand? Why would you do that? And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Oh, don't talk to me that way. We didn't hire you. We didn't ask your opinion. You want to be killed? Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be reminded that there are certain things that we can do in our life that can invite your anger and even put you on a path to destroy us. And we do not desire that. May we be attentive. May we not get to the point in our life where we are so successful that we falsely think that we don't need you anymore and we can do whatever we want, even when it is contrary to your word. Help us to be wise and not foolish. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So here is Amaziah. And then you can say, Pastor, what if I accidentally make God mad? I would say, I don't think that most people get up in the morning and say that. How can I make God angry? I don't think people do it purposefully. I think we just do it accidentally. We get like Amaziah. We get used to success. We get used to a good job. We get used to a good paycheck. And then we just start to waver in a different direction that is contrary to God's word, that God is not going to bless. I call it a habit of making bad decisions. And you know people like that. They just become sloppy, sloppy in their decisions. Police work, they call that tombstone courage. You start to get lax. You go to calls. And they constantly are talking about this. Talked about it last night in their roll call to the young people that are, you know, just a couple of years out of the academy and said, listen, stop calling off your backup. Stop saying I can handle this myself because you don't know what's going to be there. That is a bad habit. That is a sloppy habit that's going to get you in trouble. It's going to get you killed. Thus, they call it courage, but they call it tombstone courage. It is a courage that is going to end up in your death. They're going to bury you down below the ground. Everybody's going to come. It's going to be a fanciful thing. Everybody's going to be dressed in their dress blues, and they're going to have all kinds of lights and sirens going as they drive by past your station where you used to serve and maybe the home where you grew up. And they're going to have the honor guard carry your casket, but you're going to be dead. Why? Because you got sloppy. Are they good guys? Yeah, I think they're good guys. They just made bad decisions. So is a typical Christian, is he a good guy? Yeah, I think down deep, a Christian wants to be Christ-like. But they become sloppy. God gave Amaziah in chapter 25 a decisive victory. And he should have, and we should, be moved to appreciation, gratitude, and renewed devotion. We should say, God gave me a good job. I'm very thankful for that. God gave me a nice house. I'm thankful for that. God gave me a wonderful brother. I'm thankful for that. but we don't. We don't give thanks for the God thanks for the things that he has given us. Instead, Amaziah returns from the astounding victory with 100,000 less troops than what he could have had that was definitely brought to him by God. And he takes their gods that couldn't save them and he adopts them for his own. He bows down to them and offers incense to them, verse 14 tells us. And I just wrote in my outline, dumb, dumb, dumb. I mean, that's just dumb. I mean, why would you do that? But he did. Idolatry. He adopted those gods. Misplaced trust. He trusted in gods that could not save them. And these two things are a direct, what he did was a direct violation of what the preacher has referred to over the years as the Big Ten. You know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have any gods before me. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, documented a couple of different times. God says, don't do this. And Amaziah did it anyways. And so what's the big deal? No other gods, no graven images, and he did both of those. So what other gods have you adopted in your life that turns your attention away from the one true God? What is it that you look to for your inspiration in the morning? Coffee? Would coffee be a god? I'm sure it could be. Cell phone? Look to a cell phone for guidance, what the weather's going to be, what the news is going to be. You look around the world. Go to the mall and just stand in one place and look, and everybody's walking around like this. I was at a pastor's fellowship. We were in the fellowship hall. They were the food, and guys were eating. There's a pastor walking around like this, a young guy. I looked at him, and I said, really? You had to pin the location of your seat so you could get from the food table back to where you were sitting? I mean, it wasn't that big of an event. And he went, what?
He said, you got to have your cell phone to find your seat? Really? And he goes, oh, well, no, I don't. And then back his head went down.
What does that do when we bring things into our life? What did Amaziah do? It rejected God's covenant, God's promises to them. Israel's king. Israel's king led the nation into idolatry. They followed his example. They say, well, I'm not a king. You are the king of your castle, of your home. What are you doing in your home that is leading your tribe, your nation, away from God? So last week, I encouraged you to take inventory of your life. Did you do that? I would say that the vast majority of people that come to church, they listen to the preacher and say, oh, that was a good message, and then go home and do nothing. Now, that might be that I think lowly of my job as pastor, but it's just from dealing with people. And I've asked several, I said, so this week you were challenged to go home and do an inventory. Did you do that? I said, what do you mean? Inventory, you know, go through, is there anything in your home that is causing trouble? You wanted us to do that? Well, yeah, that was a challenge. Did you not take inventory? I did. Mrs. Bishop is annoyed by this, and you get an update on your phone, and they put all kinds of apps on your phone on those updates. When's the last time you look at the apps on your phone and thought, I wonder if some of these shouldn't belong here? Well, that may be a harmless thing. But you have a TV in your house, you have a smart TV in your house, it does automatic software updates, and when it does, it downloads apps to your TV. Now, you may not go through there and look at those apps, but I'll tell you, some of those places are dark and dark and dangerous and devilish and satanic. That might not be a temptation for you, but someday your kids or your grandkids are going to be scrolling through those apps, and they're going to click on one of those things, and they're going to go to a dark, 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 dangerous place. And who enabled that? You did, because you didn't take inventory. You allowed that God into your home. Now, you weren't bound down worshiping that. But you're the one that opened the doors and allowed that to happen. So what do you do? You should take inventory. And some of you need to go home this afternoon to your television and to look at those apps and see what's there and hit delete, 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 delete. Social media notwithstanding. David had a lawnmower problem this week, and so he got up his phone and said to the artificial intelligence, what is the length of the belt that drives the hydraulic system on my lawnmower, my right stander? Does Frank understand that? Because he knows what the right stander is. Spent some time on that thing. And artificial intelligence said, the drive belt for the hydraulic system on your right standard is 73 inches. And David said, really? 73 inches? 73 inches seems a bit long for a hydraulic belt. Are you sure that it is 73 inches? Now, you're talking to an artificial intelligence thing on his phone. Artificial intelligence came back and said, oops, I'm sorry, you're right, I was wrong, it's not 73 inches. Did you know artificial intelligence can be wrong? But I'll tell you what is never wrong. Now, this book's never wrong. The king may be wrong, King Amaziah. The prophet was not wrong. Amaziah said, who are you? We didn't hire you. Take your opinion and hit the street. And so he did. But not before he said, Amaziah, you best know that God hath determined to destroy you. And if you fast forward to verse 27, after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, and they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. Now, you can say that that's a random occurrence, but I think the man of God would say, that's not a random occurrence. I told you that God had determined to destroy you because you had turned away from the Lord. And verse 27 lets us see behind the scenes what we would say, again, is a random occurrence. It is not random. Amaziah turned away from the Lord, and the Lord destroyed him there. Then the question is going to come up, Pastor, do you think that God gives certain people a pass? Ah, Dean, you're here this morning saying, well, God might go after the king, but I'm not a king. God might deal that way with the preacher, but I'm not a preacher. I mean, if I was some important Christian, but I think maybe God gives people a pass. Maybe God would give a king a pass. It doesn't look that way. Maybe God would give a parent a pass. So I thought it was a valid question. Several years ago, I knew of a man. He was a pastor. He would have been considered, in our circles, a bigwig. He traveled the circuits. He was on all the marquees. People would travel for great distances to come hear you preach. But there were people on his staff that said, when we have a staff meeting, he uses profanity. He swears at us in the staff meeting. He thought that God was going to give him a pass. And he's a big guy, a large church, big schools. And he thought that he had gotten to the point where God was not going to hold him accountable. I mean, he was just too, you ever heard this term? Too big to fail? We hear that when it comes to the airlines. Oh, they're too big to fail. Or a bank. Oh, they're too big to fail. Nothing's too big to fail. Nothing. No one is too big to fail. And then he came to the point where he ordered his secretary to help him arrange a meeting with a 16-year-old girl, took her across two state lines to have an illicit affair with her. Yeah, that would be bad, Tom. Tom's going like, woo. He just got out of prison for doing 12 years. Prosecution recommended 10. Then he started talking to the judge. And the judge said, you are an arrogant buffoon. And the judge increased the time that he went to jail for. What did he not learn? I don't know. He did not learn that you are not too big to fall. You are not. Principle first mentioned, you go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, the anger was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. Moses in Exodus chapter 4 was giving excuses. God was saying, listen, I've got a job for you to do. And that is to lead the children of Israel. You are 80 years of age. You've had lots of training. You've been 40 years in Pharaoh's household. You've been 40 years on the backside of the desert. I have the job for you to do, and it's to lead children of Israel from bondage in Egypt to the promised land. Go before Pharaoh and get to work on this. And Moses said, I don't want to do it. So maybe you're 80 years of age and you think, God's got something for me to do and I just don't want to do it. Is God going to give me a pass? God did not give Moses a pass. Moses is a pretty important person. The Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why? Just because he didn't do what God wanted him to do. So how to make God mad? Just don't do what God wants you to do. You do what you want to do. I mean, after all, you're 80 years of age. You should be able to make your own decisions. Do what you want, when you want, how you want to do it. Moses, no, God does not give people a pass. Did not give Moses a pass. What about the people that Moses was leading? That would be Numbers chapter 11. The Bible says the people complained and it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it and his anger was kindled. So how do you make God mad? Let's go around complaining all the time. I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like that, I don't like that. Just complain, complain, complain. I don't like work. I don't like the weather. I don't like the way you look. Don't look at me that way. just complain, complain, complain. What did they complain about? The food, they complained about the water, they complained about the heat, they complained about the tents, they complained about everything. It's draining. And be around people, what do, Pastor, when you're around people that complain all the time? I change the subject. Police department trained us to do that. It's called verbal judo. Take that energy and divert it in a different direction. Why? Because I know, man, it's tempting to get caught up in that, but I know that when we complain, it displeases the Lord, and God's anger is kindled, and I don't want God's anger to be kindled against me. I'm going to deflect that energy in a more positive direction. And Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron didn't like the guy that Moses, the gal that Moses was married to. You should just be thankful you don't have to live with a girl, right? Be thankful for the gal that God has given you. Oh no, they're going to, he's married to her. It's done. Move on.
I don't like the girl that my son married. I don't like the husband that my daughter married. And I'll tell you what, I'm...
Get over it. They're married. No, they didn't. And so they complained. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 9, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and God made Miriam leprous. Do you know what leprosy is? Your fingers start to fall off, and your ears start to fall off, and your... Anybody want to sign up for leprosy? We would say no. It's a terrible, terrible disease. Then don't make God mad. Miriam and Aaron did. Numbers chapter 25. We have a nation, Israel, joined itself unto Baal Peor. They just worshipped idols. And we've seen that with Hezekiah or Amaziah. That's not a good thing. Deuteronomy chapter 29. The Bible says in verse 26, for they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the land, the entire nation. And say, well, it doesn't bother me if God's anger is against the land because I don't get my food from the land. I get my food from the grocery store. You can't be that dumb. Your food from the grocery store comes from the land. And if God sends a drought and God makes the crops so they don't grow, there is not going to be food in the grocery store because that's where it comes from. It's been several years. We had a young lady in the church. She is a smart gal. She would have been in AP classes in her high school. And the group of guys were talking about hunting. And she said, I don't know why you have to kill animals to eat. Why can't you get your food, your meat at the grocery store like everyone else? And I'm like, did you hear what you just said? How do you think the meat gets to the grocery store? She went right over her head. Joshua chapter 23 says that they transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and God's anger was kindled. Judges chapter 2, verse 14 says they forsook the Lord, and the Lord's anger was kindled. Judges chapter 2, verse 20 says they transgressed God's covenant, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. In 2 Samuel, they were taking the Ark of the Covenant, and they were transporting that Ark from one place to another, and they took it and they put it on an ox cart. Well, it was going down the road, and they didn't have it secured well, and the Ark of the Covenant shifted. And Uzzah thought, well, that's a terrible thing. That Ark of the Covenant, that's precious to us. It's a sign of God's presence and God's power, and I'm just going to steady that thing on the cart. And so he reached over to push the Ark of the Covenant back on the cart so it wouldn't fall off. And God struck him dead. Why? Because God said, don't touch that. What are you touching that God said don't touch? You want to make God angry? Just touch something God said don't touch. And who was he? He was just a guy. Probably with decent motives. And maybe he was just ignorant. Oh, I didn't know God said don't touch that. But pretty clearly in God's word, God said, don't touch that. And he did. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 10 that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and his anger was kindled against them, served Balaam. 2 Samuel chapter 24, David ordered Joab to number the people. And God said, don't trust in chariots, don't trust in horses, don't trust in your might and power. And David did it anyways. And Joab said, hey, King David, don't think we're supposed to be doing that. And David said, I said, number the people, number them. And Joab did. And God's anger was kindled against David, King David. Who is he? He's the guy that smote Goliath. He's the guy that had been anointed king. He's the guy that is said that he was a man after God's own heart. Does God give people a pass? No, he does not give people a pass. And it doesn't matter if you're a king, you're kind of half-hearted Amaziah, with God, not with God, doing the right thing, but not with the right attitude or the right heart attitude. It might be Moses, that God's called you for a special purpose, and you think you can do anything you want. Moses found out, no, you can't do that. And you might be a King David and say, well, I'm the king now. Who is God telling me what to do? That's not a good attitude to have. Direct disobedience to God, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. 2 Kings chapter 13, Israel followed the sins of their leader, Jeroboam, and refused to stand for right. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And you can say, well, the preacher does that. Well, I know this preacher that does that. That Christian, they do that. You can follow a leader that is doing the wrong thing, but that doesn't give you a pass. It didn't give the children of Israel a pass. Jeremiah chapter 52, King Zedekiah. The Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled against him till he cast him out from his presence. You have King David, you have Moses, you have Zedekiah, you have Israel the nation, you have Israel the people. Achan took of the accursed thing. Who was he? Just a normal guy in Israel. A father of a home. And they went into Jericho and he took of the accursed thing and he took it home and he hid it in his tent. Couldn't even enjoy it. But he knew it was there and he knew it was wrong. And he did it anyways. God's anger was kindled against Achan. And he had an opportunity to repent and make it right. Joshua said, tomorrow we're going to come through and we're going to figure out who this is. And he could have gone right there and said, you don't have to figure it out, it's me. But he didn't. And they went and they narrowed it down by tribe. And Achan's thinking, huh, what are the chances that they know? It's my tribe. But he didn't make it right. And then they went from tribe to family, and then they went to households, and then they're standing in front of his house, and it's like, oh, you got me. Yeah, I'm the one. But it was too late. Don't wait till it's too late. Find out what makes God mad and stop doing it. Stop doing it. New York is in the news this week. They had 4 bad bills. This is what the news article said. There are 4 bad law enforcement crime bills, and they're going to give everybody a clean slate. And as a result, they're going to give Joel Rifkin, he murdered 17 women. They're going to give him a clean slate and let him out. No, I don't think that's a good idea. They're going to give him a pass. Let him out. Clean his slate. He murdered 17 people. Yeah. Peyton Gendron. He live streamed the massacre of 10 people. He went there. He was live streaming it. He did it on purpose. He's going to kill a bunch of people, and he did. He killed 10 people at a top supermarket in Buffalo. And they're going to let that guy out. Like, why would you do that? But they're going to. They're going to give him a pass. And I'm thinking, another reason why I don't want to go to New York. I mean, just another, if there weren't already a bunch of reasons. And we would look at that and we would say, rightly, what are they thinking that they're going to give these murderers a pass? But here's what we do. We give ourselves a pass. God doesn't give people a pass. God wants you to come to Him in repentance and live right. He wants you to do right for the right reason. And if you're doing right because the preacher is doing right, or you're doing right because your parents make you do right, but you're not doing right out of a pure heart, there's going to come a time, like Amaziah, when you say, I'm a bigwig now. God's not going to touch me. And that's a grave mistake. And you're going to make God angry. And there's somebody going to come to you. The preacher's going to come to you and say, really? You shouldn't be doing that. Who are you to tell me what to do? I'm not your child. I didn't hire you. I didn't go to your church. Who died and left you, boss, kind of thing. Somebody's going to try to steer you in the right direction. In Amaziah's case, it was the prophet. The man of God came to him and said, listen, this is not going to end well. And Amaziah said, I didn't hire you. Do you know that I have the power to kill you? Why would you die today? Move along. Well, you know, God's going to destroy you for this. Just want you to know that. The man of God walked away. Amaziah did not. So what should I do? What should I do to keep on track? Well, let's just consider some scriptures today. What we can do to keep on track. Last week, I encourage you to do an inventory. You didn't do that. You still should. Go home and do an inventory. What's going on in your life? What's going on in your home that should not be there? But here are some things that you can do to stay on track and stay focused. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Don't go after other gods. Don't do that. Don't go after other gods. Deuteronomy chapter 7. The Lord promised to bring the children of Israel from Egypt to the land of promise if they would stay separate. So number one, don't go after other gods. Number two, be separate. And that's not just an Old Testament Deuteronomy thing. That's a New Testament Apostle Paul saying to the church at Corinth, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Be separate. Joshua chapter 7, Achan was disobedient and he took the things that belonged to God alone. And he's not the only one that did that. Belshazzar did that. In the book of Daniel, remember we talked about that last week? He took the things that were dedicated for the service and worship of God and he defiled them. Say, well, preacher, what would that be? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that is in you and ye are not your own? Don't defile your body. Don't go after other gods. Be separate. Don't take the things that belong to God. Isaiah chapter 5 says, therefore the fire devoureth the stubble, the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. What is that? That's a dumb book. They just cast it away. Don't do that. Don't go after other gods. Be separate. Don't cast away God's word. Look to that for your light. What does God want us to do? Proverbs chapter 1. Now, we memorized this passage a number of years ago. If you were not with us when we memorized this, you should go to Proverbs chapter 1 and you should memorize that. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. I have called and ye refuse. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. There is a point where you can go too late to seek God's face. There's an NBA player several years ago. He was nicknamed Dinner Bell because he liked to eat. He was a big guy. But it kept him from being successful in the NBA. There was an NFL player. His nickname was Crispy because he loved Krispy Kreme donuts. And he did not last long in the professional sports. This guy just got drafted. Caden, K-A-D-Y-N, Proctor, out of Alabama. He's drafted by the Dolphins. He is a massive human being. He is 6'7". And just a couple months ago, he weighed in at a solid 400 pounds.
Whoa.
How would you like to be across the line from that guy? And he'd crush me. I'd be crushed. He is twice as big as I am. He had to get his weight down. And so he did. He got his weight down. Right now he is a cool 352 pounds. 6'7". That is a massive human being. He said, you know, I found a secret to losing weight. Don't eat after 7 o'clock at night. Stop eating so late. And that's what he did. And so he said, this is what I've decided. I've got to live up to my nickname, Dinner Bell, Krispy Kreme. Or I've got to live up to my potential. Dinner Bell and Krispy Kreme didn't make it in the professional sports world. Will this guy make it? I don't know. But as Christians, we should decide whether we're going to live up to our nickname, gossip, cheat, thief, liar, or live up to our potential. It's not rocket science. And this is what he said. I've got to adapt or die. But long before he said that, God said that. Adapt or die. Incur my love, my blessings, have great victory, or be consumed. And it's a simple choice. Adapt or die. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. My little children, flee from idolatry. James chapter 4, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. James chapter 4, verse 5, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Not rocket science. Pretty easy. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. Need to be saved. Slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I need Christ. Well, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano's playing. Message pretty clear, pretty plain. And you can ignore the preacher, but you cannot ignore the consequences. You want to pray, you can. You want the preacher to pray for you, I'd be delighted. You obey as God speaks.